Baptism is the physical act of using water to represent the spiritual work of God stirring a life. That's a working definition of what baptism is. The physical act of using water to represent the spiritual act that God is doing on an individual. We are physical creatures. We need physical signs at times about what the invisible God is doing. And I think God knew that about us as he created us. And so he gave us some physical acts to represent the spiritual working that he is doing on a life. He's done that throughout the course of this book. Whenever he's cutting covenants, making relationships with people in meaningful moments, in meaningful steps, he gives them a sign with that step. And so very early on in the Bible, you get Noah's Ark story. And there's a sign of the covenant with God and Noah in the form of a rainbow that God hangs in the clouds. He does it yet again with Abraham, the covenant sign of circumcision that he marks his life and marks his people by. He does it with Moses. You get the physical act of giving the tablets as well as that reenactment meal of Passover with highlighting the Exodus from Egypt. So God works with physical creatures, giving them physical, tangible things to communicate his work in their life in spiritual ways. He's done that in the lives of these individuals that are going to be stepping forward in the life of baptism today. Why are they being baptized? The short answer of it is because Jesus was baptized. That's why Christians use the physical act of water and water baptism, because Jesus stepped through the waters. And so Jesus commanded it. He said, come follow me. And so part of those following me commandments of God is stepping through those waters as well in this act of baptism. But he also left it as a sign of his followers, of his disciples, when he commanded future baptisms as well. And so Jesus was baptized. Why wouldn't a follower of Jesus want to follow him through the waters of baptism as well? I want to turn your attention for just a moment before we hear the story of those individuals stepping towards those waters. If you can open your Bible or pew Bible to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts tells the story in the New Testament of the church. It's the birth of the church in significant steps and stages in church history. It's found in the early church in the book of Acts, found in the Bible. I want to take you to one baptism that took place in Acts chapter 10. There's a series of baptisms, because baptism is part of those acts of the church life together. So there's a series of baptisms that keep taking place throughout the pages of Acts, and for different reasons. Sometimes it's a dramatic change of life that's splashed in this washing away with water and this walking into the ways of Jesus. Sometimes it's something done to a whole household, a community of faith that are stepping into the waters as an initiation into the covenant community. I want to take you to the baptism of a man named Cornelius, because I think it plays into some of the stories that we're going to hear in just a moment together. So Acts chapter 10, picking up in verse number 1. What page number is that found in the Pew Bible so that we can all get there? Thank you. 1565, if you're following the Pew Bible. Verse number 1 of Acts 10 says this. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, a.k.a. that's military background. He was in control of a military unit in his day and age. He was a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family, get this, were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. And one day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. We're going to skip ahead quite a bit in this story, but I just want to share and set the stage of what kind of person Cornelius was when God's encountering him in Acts chapter 10. He's described in good terms, right? He recognizes the poor and gives generously. Generosity marks his life. Devoutness marks his life. That's a word used of God to him. He's devoted. He's a man of prayer. He talks to God regularly. And yet in this story, God's going to tell Cornelius, I got more for you. It's not just about giving some bucks and saying some prayers. There's more that God wants to splash into Cornelius' life, that these are just a step and a stage in the journey of what God's doing. And so he encounters him through one of his messengers, speaks to him directly, Cornelius, and then has a plan for him. Now, part of that plan that we're skipping over, if you turn the page, part of that plan is that a messenger is sent to Cornelius. The Apostle Peter, you've heard of Peter previously in the pages of the book of Acts. He's one of the followers of Jesus, one of the disciples of Jesus. Peter is having a similar experience with God, and Peter is going to be the one that's sent for. That angel drops the name Peter, says, send for him. He's got some things to explain to you about faith. And so what's happening in the course of 3 days that we're skipping over is Peter is sent for. Peter comes to Cornelius' house. There's that awkward small talk, like breaking the ice, like, hi, I don't know you, you don't know me, and yet here's this divine moment. God sent both of us in this divine moment. So there's that exchange. And then following that exchange, Cornelius has his house packed with all of his friends and family. Like, they're waiting and wondering, what's God leading us to in this moment? And so Cornelius has got all his friends and family there. Peter is here. He's not quite sure why he's there. They're small talking. And then Peter just launches into, this is what I've discovered about Jesus. And maybe Jesus is in all these arrangements. And so he gives actually a sermon to Cornelius and his household in verse number 32 through verse number 44. I'm getting those numbers wrong. I'm not on the right page. Sorry about that. Verse 34 through verse 43 is really a sermon conversation just about Jesus and who he is and what he's done. The cross, the resurrection, all the significant moments of what Jesus has done historically and then personally to Peter, he's kind of expressing some in verse 34 through verse 43. Conversation sermon. This is the end results. Let's skip ahead to verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who'd come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. There's a holy moment. And it's described in some ways that we're not going to take time to describe in this moment. One of those signs is tongues. There's a lot of discussion about what tongues is and how it plays out in the church. We ain't going there today. Our focus is on baptism. Except to say that in some way, their language was changed. One of the results of God encountering a life is their language is different. The things they talk about, the things they joke about, how they communicate, and what they try to communicate about their life and their journey. Something was different as a result of God stirring something in their life. And so their language was different. The gift of tongues, and specifically praising God. Their worship was different. Maybe hands held high, eyes closed, encountering God, not just through lyrics, but him intersecting our life. Maybe it's worshiping through tears, because that happens too in Scripture, right? Maybe the most beautiful words of worship uttered are in the book of Job. Gets all of life stripped away, and yet he still bows down in worship and says, naked I came, naked I'll leave. Life hurts, but I'm still praising him. Like, praise takes many forms. It's not just in sunny skies. Sometimes it's when the rain clouds are there. But the Holy Spirit encounters these individuals and they start speaking differently and worshiping differently. And Peter says this at the end of it. Peter said to them, verse 47, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they ask Peter to stay with them for a few more days. They have an experience with God. And the next step into that experience is let's experience him further through this physical act of water to represent the spiritual work that God has done on a life. They step into the waters of baptism. Cornelius and those that were gathered in his household that day. I think some of that communicates some of what we're going to hear communicated through these acts of testimony together. So keep that in mind as we think biblically and step towards those waters that God has given us together. We've got 12, I believe, coming forward to baptism today. I was going to do a social experiment with all of them. We were going to have them, with all of us watching, have to get lined up without using any words in age order, from youngest to oldest. We did something similar to that at the missions trip. Some groups did great, other groups failed. I was going to do it together. I let the surprise out of the bag, and I warned them about it about 30 minutes ago when we were doing some of our pre-service meetings. So they should have it figured out by now. But if from youngest to oldest, if we can line up those coming forward for baptism, they're going to share some of their story about why they're stepping towards the waters of baptism at this time. So those being baptized, if you can come forward. From youngest to oldest, just lined up across the front here, ladies and gentlemen. As they're coming forward, if you would take out once again your blue insert, because there's a series of commitments they're all making together that historically we make together in the life of the church. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is through baptism that we are brought into Christ's church. We are incorporated into God's saving activity in the universe, and we witness the new birth by water and the Spirit. This is the free gift of God for all with faith to receive it as a gift. And this is what these individuals want to step into today. And so I'll remind you, men and women there, what we're stepping into historically that we're committing to through the waters of baptism. Series of questions for all of you. First of all, do you believe in the triune God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say, I do. Do you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, identifying yourself with his death and resurrection and allowing him to lead your life? If so, say, I do. Do you promise to represent Jesus in the lives of his people, to live as his disciple in union with his church? If so, say, I do. Do you promise to represent Jesus in the lives of people, to live as disciple? We did that one, didn't we? Let me go to the last one. Will you? Will you be committed to live as a disciple of Jesus, which includes growing in God's love, God's grace, and God's truth through the worship of God, both publicly and privately, that being taught the truths of Holy Scripture in order that you may learn to receive God's grace for your life? If so, say, I will. What was the one that I skipped over, church? Help me out. Number two. Let's go to number two. Do you repent of sin, rejecting Satan's influence in your life by desiring to die to sin and to live for Christ? If so, say, I do. This is why we need the church in our life, right? We hold us accountable and we help see some things that are glossed over in things. This is why it's so important that you make this commitment in front of these individuals too. This is part of their journey with your journey, all leading us closer to Jesus. Amen? So this is historically what we step towards in the waters of baptism. God's been stirring something uniquely on each and every one of your lives that makes you want to make that step this day as well. So from youngest to oldest, we just want to share some of that story about why we're stepping into the waters of baptism. Starting with you, Maverick.
I want to be baptized because I love Jesus and I want to follow him more. Jesus helps me be kind and help others. I want to be baptized so I can help to show others to follow Jesus too.
We all want to support by saying amen, which means yes. It means I agree. It means true that, okay? So we're going to say amen with passion and gusto for each and every one of these, and then we're going to applaud. We want them to know that we're behind them and supporting them each step of the way. So you ready, church? Amen. And then let's get even louder by the waters when we step that direction. If you can pass the mic to Ari. Ari, share why you're stepping towards the waters of baptism.
I want to get baptized because I've been following Jesus for a long time without getting baptized, so I want to follow him the rest of my life.
Amen. Thank you, Ari. Myla, next.
Hello, my name is Myla Meacham, and I'm choosing to get baptized today because I've always had a strong faith in God, and going to camp really changed my perspective. I have experienced God in my life in so many different ways. When I was at camp, I felt God's presence when I was worshiping. I felt that he was right beside me, putting his hand on my heart, speaking to me. God is washing away all my sin. God is inviting new life into me to praise him. I would like to thank Mrs. Baptista for being a part of my faith journey. I'd also like to thank my parents for raising me to follow God. My next steps after getting baptized is to stay in God's word and tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
My parents baptized me as a baby when I was young, but I never made the decision till now that I want to be baptized. At camp, a spark lit up in me, and I felt the pastor speak directly to me, and it felt so personal in every sermon. That helped me a lot in a way that now I see Jesus way differently and want to spend more time with him and follow him. I'm reading my Bible consistently and growing closer to him. I want to be baptized because I want Jesus to be my number one in life. I want him in control and helping me live a life that will serve for him. I'm also being baptized because I want to show that I am following Jesus and I'm going to try to live for him. Jesus has grace for me because I am a sinner and I need a Savior, and he is giving me chances to follow him. Jesus has changed my life, and I'm going to follow him seriously.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Callie, and I was one who recently went on the mission trip. My experience of the Lord started on night 3 of worship. Night 3 was an acoustic night where there was no mosh pit or lights or big dance party up front. This was one of the perfect nights our church got to sit in front, and I had a front row view. I was sitting front row on the aisle space. Pastor Matt had the service that talks about that we can't be fully in Christ while still holding on to vines. My vines were being ashamed of what people think of me. I've always been afraid of my vulnerability. I've been nervous to put my hands up in worship because it felt uncomfortable and weird, and even when over 1,000 people are in the same room doing just that, or crying because I feel the Lord in my heart. Matt had wrapped up his service and placed a hand on my heart. Now that we end where we sing to the Lord, and I was like, God, if you play my song, I know that something is different. I know you're working in me and something I don't know yet. But I'm ready for the next step, and I know that. And I know that you're working something in me. And then my song came on, trusting God. And now whenever that plays, I know that he's with me. And at that point, I had tears flowing down my face, and my arms had been raised, and I felt free. And instead of the mosh pit, it was an altar, and people got to come up to the altar and bow down and cry and start praying over one another. And I knew I wanted to be a part of this. I know now that God has called me to be uncomfortable and vulnerable in my faith. I'm excited to take this next step and wash away my vines.
Amen.
When Julie and Justin mentioned getting baptized, I knew right away I was going to do it. I've been wanting to do it forever, but I never knew what I was going to say or really what was renewed in my life. Not only now have I found my reason for baptism, I have now found my reason for living. A few weeks ago, I was also at the mission camp, and on day 3, my life had flipped. The pastor was talking about cutting away any sin and shame and letting the Lord take it away from us. He told us to imagine sitting across from Jesus and handing our sin and shame and guilt to him, and I did that. I saw the Lord and gave him my life. Now I truly live for Jesus, and one of the verses I picked out that really pictures my story is Ezekiel 36:26. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. My heart and my spirit have been renewed, and that's why I'm getting baptized today.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Reese Beecham, and I'm so thankful to be able to be baptized today. Even before our mission trip, I had talked about getting rebaptized with my parents. I brought up the idea that I wanted to take a step closer to God and walk with him. After the mission trip ended, we were all back home, and it truly made me realize how much I wanted to devote my life to Christ. During the mission trip, I had a feeling that I knew God was with me, already giving me the answer if I should be rebaptized or not. I was baptized as a little kid and growing up in a God-loving family who attend church every Sunday. With my parents being so close to God, it helped me to know how important he is. As a little kid, I continued to learn who Christ was through regular worship and going to a Christian preschool. As I got a little older, I learned how important it is to build a strong connection with God. Towards middle school, I went to youth group through our church, reading my own Bible. I would just read my Bible but never really had a set plan, so it was hard to keep up with it and learn from it. Through middle school, as I got into high school, I was reading my Bible, but it was off and on. When I got into high school, Julie had different Bible studies I was able to join, which made it easier to read my Bible every day. I had friends doing the Bible studies with me, so it was easy to talk to them about it and grow in Christ with them. This past year, Julie introduced a year-long Bible study that we were able to do. I was excited about it because I knew it was a plan to read my Bible for the whole year. Doing this Bible study this year helped me grow such a strong connection with God, just being able to set aside time to do my Bible study all week. Then being able to meet together and talk about what we have read truly helped me fully understand what I was reading. When Julie mentioned the mission trip, I was excited to be able to go for a week strictly to learn about God. During the mission trip, God was moving in so many different ways and helped me realize how much I want to recommit my life to Christ. My next step after baptism is to stay reading in my Bible and tell other people about Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brock Meacham. Ever since I can remember, I've always been a firm believer in Christ. I was baptized as a baby, and my parents chose that for me. But today, I am choosing that for myself. I've always been so excited to go to church and to go to youth group and to sing at church, but I've always felt that I need to take bigger steps in my walk of faith with Christ. And that is why I'm here today. I am bringing Steve Pausch to the water with me, as he has been an influential part of my life journey. He has been an amazing mentor, and I will always be thankful. I also want to acknowledge Pastor Jump, because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be at this church today. When I was about 8 years old, I won a cooler at the Fall Festival, and he dropped it off at our house, and soon after, I came to First Church of Bellevue. And he has always been a major part of my walk in Christ and will always be someone I look up to. When I was at the mission trip that our youth group went to a couple weeks ago, I encountered Jesus. It was Wednesday night during worship when I saw him. The whole congregation was singing the song, Trust in God. It is a well-known song among Christians, and as that song was playing, I just closed my eyes and I started praying. While my eyes were closed, I saw a vision of the Lord. The picture that I saw was a little version of me. I was maybe 5 years old, and I had my hand in Jesus' hand. Jesus was in front of me, leading me through a wheat field, and I very easily remember Jesus looking back, and it was a face saying that everything is going to be okay. The colors of this vision were just like a sunset. There were orange, yellow, and pink shades. And after this vision, a huge weight just came off of my shoulders, and I felt free. What I got out of this vision was that Jesus has a plan for every single one of us, and God knows what our future looks like, and he is right there holding our hand and is leading us into great things. This vision really solidified my decision to get baptized today and has told me that God is with me wherever I go, and this is where God wants me at this moment. I have become such a stronger Christian because of this vision. This vision gives me hope, compassion, and the knowledge that I will never be alone. I am rooted in Christ. I know God has a plan for every one of us, and even though we may not know what is going on in the moment, Jesus works in mysterious and amazing ways. As Pastor Justin has said, this step of baptism is a sign of progression, not perfection. And that really stood out to me because none of us are perfect, but through Jesus Christ alone, we are free from the chains that bind us, and we know the way once we put our faith in him alone. Thank you.
Amen.
Hi, my name's Hallie, and I'm very thankful to be here today and have the opportunity to be baptized. I wanted to share a little bit about my walk in Christ and how he's been working my life, and then why I've chosen to be baptized and recommit my life to God today. I've always grown up in a house that believed in God, but I never fully understood what it meant to be a true, faithful Christian. Over the past year, I started to feel God's love, and I could feel him pulling me to want to know him more on a deeper level of connection. I started making it a priority to do a daily Bible study, pray about everything I thought about, and to share God's love with someone every day. I could feel God taking away worries, stress, anxiety, all because I chose to give it to God and trust his plan for me and my future. The decision to get baptized was not a quick and easy decision, as I've already been baptized, so I wasn't sure that it was necessary to do it again. However, God really opened my eyes while at this summer mission camp. Seeing how God can truly take over and flip someone's life around helped me to understand that getting baptized again is more than something all Christians do. It's a public showing of wanting to be better each day in your walk with God. Not every day is perfect, but the most important thing to focus on is one day better. This is my goal for every coming day. I want to grow an even deeper connection with God. I want to continue to be on fire for God's love and mercy. The mission camp lit this fire in me to continue growing with him, and I want to keep this passion for the rest of my life and hopefully help my future family have the same passion and love for Christ as I now have.
Amen.
Okay, I'm Bailey. I also went to the mission trip, but I would say that my journey started about 2.5 years ago. Drew invited me to youth group for the first time with all these guys. But it kind of started out as just somewhere to go on Sunday night to be with my friends and have fun. And I really didn't think that it would change the direction of my life. From the very beginning, God used people at this church, like Julie and Mr. Pausch, Pastor Jump, and so many others, and they welcomed me into the church with open arms. They made me feel like I truly belonged. Julie always made sure that I knew about every event and activity and went out of her way to make me feel included. Mr. Pausch always let me come sit with the guys' table, even though it was only supposed to be the guys. Looking back, I can see that God was working through every one of those relationships. Through Drew, I was introduced to a relationship with Jesus that I never had before. Through his friends and the church family, I found a community that accepted me exactly where I was and encouraged me to create a relationship with God.
Gosh, dang it.
One of the biggest turning points in my faith was going to the mission trip this summer. Before that, I knew God, like how we would go to youth group, but I never really took it seriously. Spending a week serving others, worshiping every day, and being surrounded by people who genuinely wanted to grow closer to him opened my eyes to what it really means to live for him. God showed me that following him isn't just about church on Sundays. It's about allowing him to shape every part of your life. Callie, this is your fault that I'm crying. After the mission trip, I realized how blessed I've been compared to most. My parents gave me the best life and worked hard to provide me with everything I ever could have asked for. They always loved me, supported me, and worked hard to give me the opportunities that many people couldn't have. I'm thankful for everything they've done for me, but even with all those blessings, I was still searching for something more because I was looking for my identity and the gifts instead of the one who gave them. God has shown me that my worth isn't found in accomplishments, my relationships, or what people think of me. My identity is found in him. That's why I'm choosing to be baptized today. This isn't because I've become perfect or because I have everything figured out. It's because Jesus has changed my heart, and I want my outward life to reflect my inward work, the inward work that he's been doing. I'm choosing to leave behind the life I was trying to control on my own and trust him in whatever comes next. As I begin this new chapter of my life, my prayer is that I would continue to grow closer to him every day and that my life would point others to the same hope and love that he has shown me.
Hi, I'm Ashley. I want to be baptized because I want to follow Jesus, be more like him. I want to honor God for the rest of my life. And everything that I've been through with my son, I've grown closer to him. Just my son's been so brave. He was so brave through everything. And I truly believe God was there with me. But through all of it, my faith is getting me through, going through what I went through with him. It has brought me closer to God and holding on to my faith.
and Jesus for your life. And the trip we took as a family before we knew he had cancer, he was just brave through everything. Like, he rode the mountain coasters and everything, and he would have never done any of that before. And I truly believe God was with him that day, telling him, "It's okay, Noah. Go have fun. You'll be okay, buddy." I just want to thank everybody, too, for all your support and love for my family and for Noah throughout our time. And for all your donations and just prayers. It means a lot. Thank you.
Amen.
Being baptized is a cleansing of my sins and a renewal of my faith in God. When Noah was diagnosed with leukemia, I really felt my faith in God was being tested, especially when we lost him. I was angry, mad, and everything. I didn't understand how this could happen. And at times, to be honest, I still don't know why. But when things got really dark for me, Jesus pulled out tools that were put before me to see that he did not fail me. One reading I came across, the one that really struck out, was, "When we pray, our prayers are answered, but they may not look exactly how we wanted them to look. We asked God for healing for Noah, and he was healed in God's house. Not to mention the people that were put before us to guide, to help guide us and remind us to hold on to our faith. And that God is walking this journey with us. We aren't alone. As I sit here writing this, my daughter Ashley calls to tell me that a lady named Deborah sent her message and wanted to give her a football shirt from the boys on the team in memory of Noah. Everyone that knew Noah knows that he loved football. Here we are 2 years later, and God is still putting these people before us. One thing I read at the funeral was about, it's not about weathering the storm. It's about learning to walk in the rain. So many things that have been shown to us through God so that we know that he is walking this journey with us. My journey in life is to honor God through my faith and the memory of Noah. And just thank you guys. We took all the donations on Thursday to Ronald McDonald House, and they were so, so happy. They were so thankful for all the donations, and we want to thank everyone here that donated and helped and everything that you've done for our family and guided us through all of this. This has showed us that our faith we can hold on to and know that God is there. And when things get really hard, there's always something that he puts before us to let us know that he's right beside us. And I want to honor him for that.
Amen. Amen. Bev made mention of the rain, and I think I hear and see out the window. Brad, can you look out the window and double check? Could somebody pull up a radar and see how big this cloud is that's hovering over us? Because this will affect our next steps. Beyond this step, we do want to step and see them stepping through the waters of baptism. And so our plan is to go to the Journeys at some point. Somebody pull up the radar and let me know in a moment. Some of them mentioned as a part of their speech that they have someone stepping into the waters with them. They were invited to invite someone, if someone has made a profound spiritual impact, to step in the waters along with Brad and myself. That's definitely raining. It's definitely raining. Oh, it's a short blip, though. By the time we get there, it'll be gone, huh? Don't worry, I'll delay for a 50-minute sermon. We'll be okay. So some of them have someone stepping in the waters with them. If that someone is someone standing here, once we get to the Journeys property, if you can join these baptismal candidates up by the beach area, you will step in the waters when they step into the waters together. One other piece of housekeeping items as well as we lead into the Jornet's house. They've got parking for 75 spots. There is some parking right across the street as well. We do ask if you have a big vehicle, huge truck or a big SUV, make sure that you park on one of the locations, either on the driveway heading in or back by the designated areas in the wood section. Don't park in the front lawn whatsoever if you can. Carpool too, if you can have more people in your vehicle with you, that will just save some of the spaces there, but there should be more than enough. If mobility keeps you from being able to be outside to see those steps of baptism, we're taking pictures. We hope to post those so that you will get to see that. You can just head down the hallway and start to get in the food line. After the baptism, everyone will be gathering back here for the church picnic and the baptism that will be indoors, regardless of what weather is happening. And so we're going to process to the Jornet's, process back right immediately after that for a time of eating fellowship together in the fellowship hall and in the Life Center. So if mobility keeps you from being able to go to the Jornet's, just go immediately and you can get in line and start making a plate. Just save some food for the rest of us. Save some food for the rest of us. Baptism isn't just their commitment this occasion. It's also all of our commitment together as a church and how we support and sustain them. And so looking back in faith, what do we commit to as a church family, knowing that baptism isn't the final step in this journey, right? It's a big step, but it's not the final step in this journey of growing closer to Jesus. And so what do we commit to do as a church family? Do you as a congregation accept your responsibility to assist these individuals stepping towards baptism in the fulfillment of their baptismal vows? Church? Congregation, I want to commend these individuals to your love and your care. Will you live before them a life that models the good news about Jesus until they profess personal faith in Christ as Savior and are developed as a disciple of Jesus? With as loud as you can muster, let's celebrate over this step that they're moving into in the waters of baptism.